In the swing, by and by, wish I made on that beautiful shore. In the swing, by and by, wish I made on that beautiful. Oh, in the swing, in the oh, in the swing. Oh, by and by, wish I made on that beautiful shore. Oh, in the sweet, by and by. Oh, wish I made on that beautiful
God bless you, saints. It's always good as a family to praise the Lord. There's always a reason to praise the Lord. We are healthy. We have a family. You know, it's very good. So let's just bear with us. It may not be perfect. As usual, it's just some noise.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Is there the Redeemer. Before the throne of God, we'll sing His holy name. Before the throne of God, we'll sing His holy name. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia,
brother. That's a wonderful song. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's sing the song Showers of Blessings as we ask Sister Julie and the children as well to come. Amen. Hallelujah.
The showers of blessings. Oh, this is the promise of God. Oh, there shall be seasons. Sent from the Savior above, showers of blessing, oh, showers of blessing beneath. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we. Oh, showers of blessing beneath. Oh, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
God bless you, saints. I would like to thank the Lord. On Sunday last week, I asked for prayer for my exams. And in the evening when I was studying, I don't know, something came into my mind when the lecturer was saying, oh, last year I felt sorry for one student. She came late. She thought she came early, but she was late for the exam. It was already finished. And then I looked at my timetable. I said, let me check again. And then I tried to log in. I couldn't log in. And then we have a WhatsApp group for our class, so I text, and then I put, because I put the times that I knew I had exams, but I had confused them. The one for Tuesday, I had put 6 o'clock, but it was at 12 o'clock. The one for Wednesday, it was the one at 6 o'clock. So when I checked, and then they said, no, it's wrong. It's at 12, not 6, so I was going to go late. When the exam had already finished, and I thank God for His, because it was Him who put that into my mind to say, check again. Amen. Yeah. And I would like to thank the Lord as well for Hadassah. Most of you know Hadassah was born with a tongue tie and she couldn't speak for a long time, but we thank God now she's talking.
I want to see.
Jesus Christ. Let's rise on our feet once again. Amen. We'll sing the song, I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone. Amen. Hallelujah.
When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, oh, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way, or I won't have crossed Jordan alone. Oh, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to adore. He'll be waiting for me. I won't have crossed Jordan alone. Oftentimes I'm forsaken and weary and sad, when it seems that my friends have all gone. Oh, there is one door that cheers me, makes my heart glad, that I won't have to cross Jordan. Or I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Alone. Oh, Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, oh, He'll be waiting. Oh, you'll be right there. I won't have crossed Jordan alone. Through the billows of sorrow and trouble may sweep, Christ the Savior will care for His own. Till the end of the journey, His only will. For I won't have to cross Jordan alone. No, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I know Jesus died on my sin to adore. When the darkness I said, He'll be waiting for me. I won't have. Oh, there in pressure.
fountain, free to hold the healing stream. Oh, flow from Calvary's land. Oh, in the cross, in the cross, oh, be my glory.
Thank you very much for your prayers. He's back safely. God bless you, brother. See Sister Lily back. God bless you, sister. Sister Lydia's brother's with us today. Samuel, God bless you once again, Samuel. And Sister Lillian is requesting prayers. She has been assessed in her job, so she can't make it today. Let's pray. Father, we desire to hide ourselves behind the cross upon this day. Father, to go back unto the glory. Father, where we first meet you. Oh, Father, how wonderful, Lord, salvation and redemption and revelation and your goodness to us. And Father, we never want to be far from that place. So, Father, we've come into your house upon this day. Father, seek in the oil and the wine. Seek in the quickening power. Seek in inspiration. Seek in grace. Seek in, Lord, that you'd minister once again an entrance to us into that secret place. That, Father, you may deal with each and every one of our souls. Lord, to better equip us. Father, to give us a service upon this day, spiritually speaking, Lord, that, Father, we may be in a better condition to give to you that which is worthy unto you. Father, to give an offering, Lord, that would be pleasing before the King. Help us, Lord, we'd pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Father, bless Sister Lillian, we pray for her job. undertake for her, Lord, in her assessment. Lord, Brother George at work, I do pray for him, Lord. And Father, the rest of the saints here and there, we do dedicate them to Thee. Bless Your people. Touch Your people upon this day. We've come here to Your house. We've come to glorify Your name. Have the preeminence, Lord. Father, let Your will be done. Let Your kingdom come in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's open the book of John chapter 12. Let's read the first 8 verses, John chapter 12, just to get a thought for today. The scripture says, then Jesus, John 12 verse 1, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had a bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. On Friday, even as Brother Max was saying on Sunday school, we are looking at the other instance. You know, sometimes we get the two stories confused. There's two different stories here. One is Mary, who's the sister of Martha, who comes and anoints Jesus' head. The other one is the harlot who comes and anoints his feet. You know, so it's two different stories completely if you go and read them. One is in Simon the Pharisee's house. This is in Simon the leper's house. You know, you find different things like that, but it's a completely different story. And this is the story about Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister also of Lazarus, and her offering that she gave to the Lord. You know, it's an amazing, because if you read the same story in Matthew 26, Jesus says, this will be a memorial, told as a memorial. Wherever the gospel is preached, he says, this story will be told as a memorial. And that's a serious thought, you know, for something to be associated with the gospel, that wherever the gospel goes, there's a certain something that the Lord wants to be associated with the gospel. He wants that story to be associated wherever his gospel goes. And you'll find out the reason is that the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done for us, should lead us to do what Mary did for Jesus. Now these two things should always go together. His offering and his sacrifice should always be something that stirs us up to our offering and our sacrifice. You know, when we looked back, I remember maybe last year or so, we looked at the different offerings in the book of Leviticus. And you can see it in Leviticus 2, 3, 4, 5. You'll find there's 5 different offerings. And there's 3 offerings which are sweet savor offerings before the Lord. Now you find that there's 2 offerings for sin. There's the sin offering, there's the trespass offering. Those are blood offerings. And those offerings, if you read it in Leviticus, it says nothing about them being a sweet savor before the Lord. Because those are sin offerings. There's nothing sweet about sin. There's nothing sweet about the death of Christ on the cross. There was nothing sweet about the agony in Gethsemane. There was nothing sweet when he was lashed, when he shed his blood. There was nothing sweet when he said, my soul is sorrowful, nigh unto death. There was nothing sweet in that offering. It was an offering he had to make. And in the end, yes, it's sweet because of the results that it brings. But the sin offerings, they weren't sweet savor offerings. But there were 3 other offerings. If you weren't coming to the Lord, you didn't have to offer. No, if you'd already offered, put it this way, your sin offering, and then you wanted to give something more to the Lord. Maybe you had a good harvest. Maybe the Lord had blessed you in a certain way and you wanted to give something as a thanksgiving. The Lord provided other offerings that you could bring. And you'd find the burnt offering. The burnt offering wasn't an offering for sin. The burnt offering was something that you would bring to consecrate to the Lord. And we saw that when we looked last year, the burnt offering types the consecration of the believer. That you offering yourself, like Paul said, on the altar as a living sacrifice. So you coming and offering this and giving something holy to the Lord. You've taken the choice of your flock. You're taking whatever that it is. And you're giving the choice. You're giving something which is your choice portion that could have been yours. You legally could have kept it for yourself. The Lord wasn't forcing you to make a burnt offering. But you would bring this kind of an offering as a free will offering. These were free will offerings. And you would come and you'd give it to the Lord. And that was the portion for the Lord. And the Lord now, when that was offered with oil and frankincense and the different things that were mixed up together with it, when that was burnt on the altar, it went up before the Lord as a sweet savor. It came up before the Lord as something that was sweet. And as we said on Friday, whenever something sweet goes up before the Lord, something comes down from the Lord as well. He always responds to that kind of a thing. And then the next kind of an offering which you had was the meal offering. Now the meal offering was when you would bring of your meal. You know, you would bring of the finest of your wheat. You'd bring the finest of your flour and you'd give an offering to the Lord. It's like a thanksgiving offering that you wanted to really appreciate the Lord for what he had done. The burnt offering speaks of your consecration of yourself. The meal offering speaks of the consecration of what the Lord has given to you. It's the consecration of your goods. It's the consecration of your time. It's the consecration of your gifts to the Lord. And none of these things are pleasing unless they're voluntary offerings. They've got to be free will offerings. If you come to church and you don't want to come, it's not pleasing to the Lord. You should come because you need to be ministered into the place that your offering becomes acceptable. But it's not pleasing to the Lord when you come and it's not a free will offering. When you're singing and you don't really want to sing, the prophet says, offer a sacrifice of praise. Now don't do things grudgingly for the Lord. There's no blessing when something is not done from the heart. There's no blessing in the things of the Lord because it cannot come up before the Lord as a sweet savor. It cannot come up before him as something which is pleasing to him unless it's done from the heart. Unless your motive and your objective are pure in the different offerings that you offer. Then there was also one more offering after that. I think it was, you had the burnt offering, then you had the meal offering, and then you had, I can't remember what it was, but it types communion. There was one more, which was the peace offering. And the peace offering was an offering that you'd bring in, you'd offer it to the Lord as well. And that types your communion with Christ. That types, you know, you really appreciate communion with the Lord, something that brings you into communion with Him. But you'll find each and every one of these things, it was a sacrifice. Each and every one of these things, it was taking from what you had. Taking from what you possessed, and you were presenting and giving it to the Lord. And that determined what you would receive from the Lord. And you are told in the scripture to bring the best of your flock. Remember in Malachi when the Lord was complaining at the people and he wasn't blessing them because the people weren't bringing the best of their flock. They were bringing the blind of their flock and they were bringing those that were lame and things like that. And he says, would you give this as tax to the king? He says, would you take this with a king even as tax, accept this kind of an offering? He says, I am a greater king than all the kings of the earth. He says, so how much more should the offering that you give to me be an acceptable offering? It should be the best. Friends, we shouldn't give the Lord the last 5 minutes of the day in prayer. We should give the Lord the best portion of the day. When you have strength and when you have zeal and when your mind is clear and your soul has a desire, that's when you should pray. You shouldn't wait until you've tired yourself out with the labors of the day. Tired yourself out with your studies at college and that, and then you give the end of the day, the most inferior portion of your day to the Lord. Then you wonder why you don't have the same quickening power in your experience the way that you used to have. No, the Lord respects it if you get up early in the morning. The Lord respects it even if you lay aside sleep for a little bit of a portion of time and you give the choice portion of your day to the Lord. And friends, don't come to the Lord when you're old and gray and say, I'm going to do something for the Lord. Come when you're young. Come when you've still got zeal and strength and power and give the choice portion of your life to the service of the Lord. Friends, you'll never regret it. But some people, they want to go and get all their education and they want to get married, want to do all these things and then give themselves as an offering to the Lord. You'll regret it down the way. You'll have regrets every day of your life saying, why didn't I do this before? Because friends, the king that we serve, he's worthy of these things. The best that we can give is never even worthy enough of him. Because God gave the best that he could give. When God asks us to give of our substance or give of ourselves, He's not asking us to do something that He didn't do Himself. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave the greatest sacrifice that He could give for us. So as a response to the gospel, there should be something that comes back to Him. There should be something. And that's what all those offerings represent in the Bible. The meal offering. And you'll see it with Mary. This was a meal offering that she was offering. She was offering the choice of her substance. She had the most precious thing that she had. She had this alabaster box. We've seen it before. It said in the Bible, verse 5, it says, it cost about 300 pence. That was 1 year's wages. So if you're earning 25,000 euro a year, 36,000 a year, that's what she offered. When she came and broke that alabaster box, the Jews, they said this was her dowry. This is what had maybe been given to her by her parents for her future, that if things didn't go wrong right when she went married, at least she would have some like insurance, she'd have some wealth of her own. This was everything that she had. This was her future stored up in this box. This was everything that a person naturally that she would be depending upon. But when she got into a certain channel and she realized the worth and the value of Christ, she was willing to take her future. She was willing to take all that she was and all that she had stored up, and she was willing to break it and pour it out upon His head. Friends, that's why it was so pleasing to the Lord. That's why the Lord said, wherever this gospel is preached, let this be a memorial. Let no one ever forget that this woman has done. And she's a type of the bride. Because this was the rejected king. This was just the hour of darkness coming in. It says it was 6 days before the Passover. The council was already gathering. They'd already plotted against him to put him to death. You know, and all the rest of the people now, you know, they were looking down on him, and he had a bad reputation and a bad name. But it only takes one person to change the situation, like we said on Friday. One person who can come with this kind of an offering can change the entire atmosphere, can change the entire course of events. And friends, that's what he's looking for. And his bride, it's in you. It's in your soul to do it. It's not in your flesh to do this. It's in your soul to do it. And that's why you sometimes don't need to listen to your reasoning. You don't need to listen to your thinking. Don't need to reason things out. When you feel to do something for the Lord, just pour it out. She didn't fully understand what she was doing. She didn't know she was anointing him to his burial. She just had an impulse. And because of the greatness of her love, she was just ministered into a certain place. And he had a need. Because Christ was going to be crucified. He was going to be taken down in haste. Put in the tomb in haste. No one is going to anoint him for his burial. That's why he says, she has anointed me for my burial. God was making a provision ahead of time of the need that was in the body, but she didn't even know by the offering that she was giving the fullness of the implications of what she had done. And that's how it is every time you follow divine inspiration. You won't understand sometimes the effects of what you've done. You'll just feel to do something for the Lord. You'll just feel to witness to someone. You'll just feel to consecrate yourself, to pray for somebody, to get up in the middle of the night. You won't understand many times what you've done. But when we get beyond the curtain of time, you're going to see the effects of your testimony. You're going to see that so much of the things that you did, just following a divine impulse, you'll see that it brought results that were far beyond the scale of what you ever thought that they would be. Because that's what happened to her. So she came and she gave this offering. Now, this sin offering and the different sweet savor offerings, they teach us a principle as well. In Genesis 4, when Abel came and Cain came to give the offering. Now think of it. Both Cain and Abel came. They were under the same move in that age. Yeah, they came from the same womb. Yeah, they came from the same place. They both came that day to offer offerings to the Lord. But only one of them was accepted. What made the difference here? Now, one of the major things that you find in the scripture, Genesis 4, it says, Genesis 4:4, and unto Abel, it says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. So for your offering to be accepted before the Lord must first accept you. The Lord can't accept something if you defiled. Now, if your motive isn't good, if your purpose isn't good, if your nature, No, if you're desiring things that are wrong, God cannot accept that offering. Amen. God cannot accept a free will offering, cannot accept a sweet savor offering before he first accepts you. And that's why you've got to offer the sin and the trespass offering first. You've got to get yourself right with God first. You've got to come under the blood so that God can accept you. Then when you come and present the works of your hands, you come and present whatever, the worship of your heart, whatsoever it is, he can then accept it. But he's first got to accept you. And you'll see it with Mary, the Lord had really accepted her. Now she had been proved, she'd been through the seasons of fire. She'd been through trials, she'd been through difficulties. It hadn't been easy, they'd thrown everything in with Jesus. There were disappointments she had been through when Lazarus was sick and Jesus didn't come. She'd been through a lot of things, she'd been tested. That hadn't been such an easy walk for her. The prophet says she was ridiculed by the people from the synagogue and that. Yeah, because of her association with Jesus. There was a price that she was willing to pay. And Jesus, when he looked at her, he accepted her. And that's how when she came and she gave of her substance, he could accept it in such a special way. Because first he accepted her. And that's why we first got to get our hearts and our motives and our objectives right with God before we come to do anything else in the house of God. We've got to get those things right, because it's not just the offering that is pleasing to the Lord. Friends, so many people today are making offerings, but how many of them are really accepted before the Lord? You know, it's not being, like they say at work, being a busy fool. you just want to just do things for the sake of doing them, but they have no benefit. There's no like value in the things that you're doing. You don't want to just offer an offering to the Lord. You want to offer him something that's got value. Amen. You want a revelation to be in there. You want it to be anointed. You want it to be, you know, something that he leads you to do. Because friends, it's only one life and soon it's past. Amen. And only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. Nothing else is going to last. Amen. All the rest of the things that we do, all the rest of the sacrifices that we make, they mean very little. Amen. The only thing you're taking with you is your testimony, Amen. Is your character and your testimony. Amen. And the effects for the gospel, storing up treasures in heaven, those are the only things that you can take with us. So it's good for us once in a while to really search ourselves and ask ourselves, especially in this atmosphere of Laodicea. Because Laodicea is people's rights. The greatest enemy of being a burnt offering, the greatest enemy of offering a pleasing, sweet savor offering to the Lord is Laodicea. When you get into the atmosphere of Laodicea, you get the attitude of Laodicea. God is not pleased with anything you do or anything that you offer. You've defiled the whole offering that you're making. When you've got yourself at the core. That's why selfies and all that are so popular now, and selfie sticks. It shows when Laodicea. That's all to do with self. But when you brought this meal offering to the Lord, let's look at it in Leviticus chapter 2. Verse 4, look at the characteristics when you brought this free will offering, because you wanted something to come up before the Lord as a sweet savor. That's what we're speaking about today, is a sweet savor. Because we want to be a sweet savor to the Lord. When we come next weekend and we have our meetings, we want it to be a sweet savor before the Lord. We don't want to come and just offer an offering that God has no respect of. We don't want to just come and offer an offering like Cain. That we can bring of our substance, bring of our time, come and kneel at the altar, and there's no response from heaven. And we leave the altar even worse than we were than when we got there. Cain was worse when he left that place. But Abel, when he came and first made sure that God could accept him, and he got his motives and his objectives and he got his desires right before the Lord, he wasn't governed by the flesh. He wasn't governed by selfishness and things like that. But when he came and he offered his offering, God had respect unto his offering. And that's the kind of offerings we want, friends. We want offerings that change the atmosphere. Offerings that bring the presence of God down. Because when Abel offered his offering, the fire fell from heaven. When Elijah offered his burnt offering, fire fell from heaven. It shows that it had come up before the Lord as a sweet savor. And God had smelt that sweet savor. And the Lord says, oh, this pleases me. What can I do to bless the one that has given such an offering to me? And then he pours his blessings down. But as we'll see in the story of Mary, you can be in the same church. Because Judas was there as well that day. And the other disciples were there that day. And none of them received the blessing that she received. None of them. Her offering actually just condemned Judas the more.
Amen. That's right.
That's what it did. Yet they were all in the same message. Friends, I don't want to waste my time in this message.
Amen.
I don't want other people to being blessed and I'm not being blessed.
Amen.
What's the purpose of our sacrificing our time and sacrificing our fuel and sacrificing our lives and
Amen.
Our reputations, and it's not pleasing to the Lord?
Amen.
Let's search ourselves.
Amen.
You know, and if God isn't responding, you're not doing something right.
Amen.
If there's no quickening power in your worship, you're not worshiping properly.
Amen.
If there's no quickening power in your prayer, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
He hasn't accepted you, so he can't accept your sacrifice.
Amen.
And that's why he has the perfect sin offering, Christ. He's the trespass offering, Christ. He's fulfilled all that for us. But the rest of these offerings are up to us. These are things that we are to offer and that we are to fulfill. So Leviticus 2 verse 4, it says, if the saints wouldn't mind not letting it get too hot in here today, you know, one of those heaters, please, saints. Ew, last week it was like DRC. And we're not acclimatized to Africa anymore. We got used to this kind of thing. Leviticus 2 verse 4. And if thou, it's up to you. You don't have to do this. If thou bring an oblation of a meat offering, it's a meal offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil.
Amen.
So the first thing, it had to be the finest of the flour. You didn't bring just the secondary flour. It was the finest of the wheat that was ground to make fine flour. That's what you'd bring to the Lord. Something which was the finest that you had. If you're going to sing, sing with all your heart.
Amen.
Why sing if you don't sing with all your heart? What's the purpose?
Amen.
You're singing as you want to the Lord. Even if your voice is bad, sing with all your heart.
Amen.
If you come in to do an item, do it with all your heart.
Amen.
Pour it out like Mary did.
Amen.
Mary didn't hold half of it back and say, let me give a little bit to the Lord. She broke the alabaster box and she poured it all out before the Lord.
Amen.
And she was left with none of it at the end. And that's the best way to worship the Lord. That's the best thing. When you get an opportunity to do something for Him, when you find yourself in His house, when you find an opportunity to worship Him in some way, do it with all your heart.
Amen.
The Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your heart.
Amen.
That's pleasing to the Lord, friends.
Amen.
If you do it with all, when you give the finest of the wheat. The second thing, it had to be ground. It says, fine flour. And if you go and find out, the prophet says every burr, when it was ground, had to be exactly the same size. And he says that types Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it also shows that when you took that flour and you sifted it, because every single particle now had been ground to the same consistency, there was a pure consistency. And friends, what God wants is consistency in worship. He doesn't want you, last week you're going to change the world and today you're thinking to go back to the world. That's not the kind of worship that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, 1 week you're wondering, you wanted to do great things for the Lord. The next thing you wonder whether it's even worthwhile to serve the Lord. Shouldn't be like that. He wants a consistency. When you're coming, bring a consistency. He wants to see you worship in good times and bad. Even when you've got a headache, worship the Lord. Even when you don't feel well, worship the Lord. But friends, there's too many excuses in Laodicea.
Amen.
Too many excuses why we can't come to church. Too many things we put ahead of the Lord.
Amen.
We arrange meetings next week and everyone's got something they need to do. How can it be like that, friends? And the Lord's giving us a special opportunity to minister to Him.
Amen.
To come and bring a thanksgiving offering for the place that He's given us. Work should be not even secondary there. You shouldn't think about work and studies and I've got to go here and do this and do that. Shame on us for that kind of worship. Is that worthy of Christ for the great offering that He gave to us? That we can put other things ahead of His worship so easily. Friends, it shouldn't be like that. No matter what you have to do, no matter what sacrifice we have to make, put His kingdom first. Put His worship and His service first. That's the kind of service that He appreciates. And a consistency in the worship. That's what He wanted. In the offering, there must be a consistency. Not just changing day by day. And then it says that it had to be flour mingled with oil. Friends, without the anointing, nothing is acceptable before the Lord. Our song worship without the anointing upon it's not acceptable before the Lord. Our preaching without God getting into His words, not acceptable before the Lord. Our prayers without the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, it's just words. It's just like the prophets of Baal jumping on the altar. We don't want that kind of a thing. But when He accepts us, when we're coming the right way, He anoints us in service for Him. He's the only one who can supply the oil in the meal offering. We're going to bring the finest of the flour. We're going to bring the finest of the wheat. We're going to make the sacrifice, make the journey. We're going to bring it to His house, bring it to the altar. But He's the one in our worship who has to give us the oil. And the way you get the oil, the prophet says, you wait on your ministry. You know, you get up in the morning and you wait upon the Lord. You want to come to the house of the Lord anointed. You don't want to come to the house of the Lord like all of us and wait for the song leader to bring you into the presence of the Lord. You want to come prepared. You want already that the Lord has accepted you. You've made an offering to Him in the morning. You've committed yourself. You've committed the day to Him. You've appreciated Him for His goodness and His grace. You're asking for His blessing upon the offering that you're about to make. Friends, you don't want to come to the house of the Lord and wait for someone to crank you up. Because you know what ends up happening then? You end the service the way you were supposed to have started the service. Because at the end of the service, you feel like you want to be in church. At the end of the service, you feel like you want to worship. It should have been like that at the beginning of the service. If we would begin like we end, we'd get somewhere. Many times it's the truth. You get to the end and the song worship and everyone wants to worship and no one wants to go home. Imagine if we had started like that, friends. Imagine if we had come on Saturday, 2 o'clock here. And if everyone would be on time, which would be one of the greatest miracles that ever happened in Dublin. That everyone would be on time. And we'd come having prepared ourselves on Saturday morning. Not having rushed to the city. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to finish up my Christmas shopping. Oh, it's 12:30. We've got church at 2 o'clock. Let me quickly run through the traffic. And you're hooting at the person in front of you. Get out of the way. I'm in a hurry. And you traffic jam on the way. Then you're shouting at the children. Get in the car. We're late for church. You think the Lord's going to accept that kind of an offering, friends? And then you come to church and you wonder why you get so little out of church. You wonder why, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But if we could get up, if we could start preparing from now for next week on Saturday, we're going to get somewhere. If we could start preparing ourselves and putting ourselves and humbling ourselves and fasting and praying and yielding ourselves before the Lord. And more so the song leaders and the musicians and the ministers and the officers in the church. If we could really start from now. So that we can bring a sweet savor before the Lord. So when the song leader gets up to sing the first song. And when the first prayer is prayed. Heaven responds straight away. Our friends, then we'll get somewhere. But it's up to us. Now we've got a choice. We can allow ourselves to be Laodiceans this week. Or we can allow ourselves to be real believers. It's up to us which we decide. Laodiceans, it's my time. You know, it's my time. It's my fuel. I don't have to. It's true. We don't have to do anything for the Lord. But then He doesn't have to do anything for us. Amen. He's already done the greatest that He could. He's given us salvation. He's given us redemption. But the blessing that's going to come upon the offering that you make next weekend depends on the attitude that we have coming into this thing. Depends on our approach. Depends on how much we're willing to pour out for Him. How much we're willing to bring before Him so that we can please Him. To bring a pleasing offering to the Lord. This meal offering, when you brought it says you'd come and you'd give it to the priest. And the priest would take a small portion, which is called the memorial. And then the priest would use the rest of it to bake bread and they would eat it in the holy place. And that small portion of the meal offering, the memorial, they'd put frankincense, they'd put the oil, they would take it to the altar, they'd burn it as a sweet savor before the Lord. So this meal offering, it wasn't for you. There was nothing of selfishness in this. You were giving it to the Lord and it was being used for the body. It was being used for the priesthood. And that's the right motive that God wants. When we come and make an offering before the Lord, in our service before the Lord, we shouldn't be coming to see what I can get out of this. But we should be coming here, what can I give? What can I give that would be pleasing to my King, like the song says? What can I do that would please Him? What can I do to minister to His body? We saw it on Friday night when that woman came and she washed Jesus' feet. She ministered to the body of Christ in her day. She came in the midst of all the criticism, all the darkness that was there. And she came and ministered to Christ. She was doing it for Him. She did it for the Lord. And that's why the Bible says that the meal offering is to be presented before the Lord. Now when we come and we sing, we should be singing before the Lord.
Amen.
When we come and we preach, we're preaching unto the Lord.
Amen.
We're not coming to please ourselves, but we're coming, we're wanting the offering to be something that pleases Him.
Amen.
The Bible says the wise men, when they brought their gifts, what did they do?
Amen.
They presented them before Him.
Amen.
That's why they brought their gifts, was to give something pleasing to the Lord. And that's what the meal offering is all about. Now, the frankincense was the element in this meal offering that caused the sweet savor. But the frankincense, it only smelt, brought forth the fragrance when it went through the fire. And friends, the most pleasing of service that you will ever offer is when you go through your trials, you go through fiery trials, and you still worship the Lord. When you're like Job and everything's gone wrong and you bow down and you say, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That comes up as a memorial before the Lord. That comes up as a sweet savor before the Lord. It's not just worshiping when you feel like worshiping. We don't just worship. You don't pray every day just because you feel like praying. You pray because He's worthy of your prayer. You pray because He's worthy of thanksgiving. You pray because He's worthy of worship. When we sing not sometimes because we feel like it. The outward man's going to weigh you down many times. Friends, but you're doing it because He's worthy of these things. It's an offering unto the Lord. There's something to be presented before the Lord because it's something, you know, that pleases Him. And friends, when you please Him, you know that you pleased Him. There's no way you can please Him and not know that you pleased Him. But friends, you also know when you didn't please Him. There's things we say, we know straight away that never pleased Him. But the prophet many times would preach and say something, and then he would say, that pleased Him. Because something had responded from heaven the moment he said something. Our friends, that's where it needs to be, to please Him. And that's why this frankincense, it's the very thing that made the sweet savor. So let's look at a few things in this experience of Mary and her worship and her offering. What caused this to be a sweet savor before the Lord? What can we learn from Mary as we look to our offerings before the Lord? As we look to divine service before the Lord? As we look to these meetings coming up ahead to a new year starting soon? What can we learn from Mary to say that this was something that God put in His Word to be recorded as a memorial? What can we learn from this memorial? The first thing about it is, if you're looking at this alabaster box, like I said, the first thing, Mary did a lot more than she was aware of. And friends, I don't know if you and I even realize the things that we do even here in Dublin for the Lord. I don't think sometimes we are aware of the significance of many of the things that we do. Sometimes we may not see it. To come and worship Him in spirit and in truth, in the midst of all the darkness that's around, in all of the idolatry and the false religion and that, even for Him just to have a witness of people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. I think sometimes we don't realize the significance of what we are in the sight of God. And what God, how God respects the things that we do. Sometimes we don't realize that. She didn't realize. She just thought, let me just take this thing and break it on His head. But she didn't realize the significance behind the scenes. She didn't really realize what was happening in heavenly places through this offering that she was giving. Now, Mary in her offering, she went beyond what was ordinarily expected of somebody. When you invited somebody to your house, what should you do? You'd get the servant to wash their feet. You'd get somebody to anoint them with oil. And then you'd kiss them welcome, like we saw on Friday with the harlot. That was what was expected of you. But friends, when you offer something to the Lord, it's wonderful to go beyond what's expected of you. She kissed His feet. That's what you saw. She wiped His feet with her tears. It was far beyond what you would really expect was the normal offering that should be given to a visitor. And that's what it should be. Do you want to just be an average Christian? Is that your ambition? Just to be an average Christian? I don't want to just be an average Christian. It's not easy. There's a lot of opposition. You've got to fight against powers of darkness and principalities and all manner of things that come in the way. But any genuine believer wants to excel. They want to offer something that's special to the Lord. Not that people will see them, but you want to offer Him something beyond what everybody else is just accepting as the normal to be offered. Don't you feel like that many times? That you want to just offer something to Him. Something beyond. You even look back in your life. You say, it's fine. I thank you, Lord, for the things of the past. But there's just a certain place that I haven't got to yet in expressing myself to you. There's a certain place in my thanksgiving to you for your goodness to me. I've never yet got to that place to really express it the way that I want to express. But friend, if that is your desire, He's going to give you the opportunity. Because that was Mary's desire. For all that Jesus had done for her, she used to sit at His feet. And Martha would be so busy around the house, but she'd be soaking it in. And then Jesus says, Mary has chosen the one thing needful. And this will not be taken away. She loved to sit at His feet. She loved to entertain Jesus. Jesus felt at home in her house. That's where it started. Then when things went bad and Lazarus died, where did we find her? We spoke of it once before. She came and fell at His feet. She came out of her mourning. She came out of the darkness and the gloom of her situation when she heard the Master had come. And she went and fell at His feet. Ah, friend, she was somebody who was so at home at the feet of Jesus. Now, she had entertained Him. She had made her house a place that He loved to dwell. She had made a stand for Him. All the rest of the city didn't understand. And when Lazarus was sick and he didn't come and then he died, the prophets and all the people were saying, we told you, that message isn't true. You really believe that cloud? You really believe that picture of the pillar of fire? You're going to have those critics, friends. You have to go through those kind of things. But then you'll still get another opportunity to come and pour it out at His feet. To come and speak to Him. Like the song says, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these troubles alone. In my distress, He surely will help me. The sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's prayer. Snare by thy return, sweet hour prayer. Now, we were saying it yesterday when we were fellowshipping with some believers. Those old songs that had meaning, friends. Some of these new songs, they're like the adverts on the TV. You know, they just sound nice. But some of those old songs that had depth in them. No matter how many times you sing them, they're like poetry. There was revelation. There was depth in some of those old songs. Some of these new songs, the prophets, it's just these choruses. They're okay. But they don't have what some of those old songs had. But you'll only appreciate those old songs when you're in the Spirit. When you're out of the Spirit, you don't want those old songs anymore. They're too spiritual. Then you want the marching songs and you want the jumping songs and you want all of these kind of things. But when you really get close to the Lord, what kind of songs do you like? Is worship. Something that's got meaning. Something that you can relate to. Something that when you read the words of that song, you can relate it to experiences in your life. And that's why those songs are timeless. They'll never lose their power to a believer because there's something in your experience that resonates in the words of those songs. Those songs will continue to minister to you right to the end of this world. They will, friends. We can never get away rid of those old songs. There was a certain season in the church, Charles Wesley and those, Fanny Crosby and that God allowed a certain special something to come at that time concerning those songs. That's when so many of those beautiful songs were written, which the prophet would sing in all of his meetings. So many of them were written in a certain space of time where there was a depth. You take the modern songs now. They're shallow songs. Is it not true? And most of them, we just listen to them because of the music. You like maybe the tune, or you like the music, but the real words of what they're saying, there's nothing really in the words. And it really, like I said to the believers yesterday, it's your spiritual thermometer, the type of music you like to sing and listen to. Because when you're not burning in your soul with love for Christ, you don't want to sing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. They're a precious fountain. You don't want those kind of songs. You want kick him down, have the devil on the run. We like those kind of songs. There's nothing wrong with those songs. But you can assess your spiritual condition by how you feel towards that genuine type of worship. And Mary was in a place, she was in a depth. She was in a place beyond where the rest of the people were. She wanted to offer something deeper. She wanted to find some way to express her gratitude to the Lord. He had raised her brother up from the dead.
Amen.
He had vindicated their belief in him before the rest of the people when he called Lazarus out on the fourth day. He had ministered to her time and time again as she sat at his feet. He had shown such love and favor to them. It was like inside of herself, she had always been looking for some way, some opportunity to do something worthy of him. And maybe she felt, I've never yet done it. I've never thanked him in the way I should have thanked him. I can't find the words to express how. Don't you feel like that many times? That's why music is so powerful, because sometimes you will find a certain song that says exactly what you're feeling at that time. And that's why you listen to that song over and over again. And you listen to other music, but it doesn't do what that song does. Because you're struggling maybe to find the right words to express what's happening inside of your soul. But God has anointed someone to enter into that realm before you. And God's taken you within the veil. And there's a sympathy and a fellowship in the words of those songs that you can tell, this song expresses exactly what I'm trying to say. You can feel it inside of your soul. There's a harmony. There's like something that resonates inside of you that says, yes, Lord, I don't have the words. And that's why even like tongues and those kind of things. And Paul said to pray, you know, when you pray, pray in the spirit. And people, when people break into the realm like that, have anybody ever spoken tongues? You'll understand those kind of things. That sometimes there's not words that can express something in a certain atmosphere. The prophet says God has to give you some kind of other words. Because you can't express things with English, with a human tongue in that atmosphere, what you're wanting to express. And that's why the prophet says God gave those angelic tongues and, you know, natural tongues and that, so that a person in prayer, Paul said that. He says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Remember, Paul said that. But it wasn't something which he said should be done just in public when there's no interpreter. But you'll understand those things. And you can tell it with Mary. She was looking for some way. Something. She knew she could never give him something which he was worthy of. He was worthy of far more than the best she could ever give. He was worthy of far more than the greatest that she could sacrifice. But she must have been just desiring some opportunity to say. Maybe she heard him speaking about going up to Jerusalem. That now his time was near. Maybe she sensed and she knew. If I'm ever going to do something for him, I've got to do it now. I've got to find some opportunity now to do something for him. And friends, we need to be waking up to that as well. Time is running out. We're putting all these other things ahead of the service of the King. If you don't determine one of these days that if I don't do something now, maybe I'm never going to get a chance. I'm never going to get another opportunity to serve him. And how do we serve him? By serving his people. This is his body now. She came to his body then. We come to the body now. Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Oh, friends, it's a privilege to be able to minister to the sons and daughters of the King. Because when we're doing it to his sons and his daughters, we're doing it to him. When we're pouring something out for the body, it's the same as Mary pouring something out on his body. That's how we do it, friends. But she must have been seeing the time is running out. She could feel the urgency of the hour. She could feel this expectation in heavenly places. She knew what was something was brewing. She could feel it inside of herself. And she knew, if I'm going to do something of worth for my King, if I'm going to offer something of worth to my Lord, I've got to find an opportunity to do it soon.
Amen.
And the moment you have that desire, he's going to minister an entrance to you.
Amen.
That's what he's waiting for, is just to see the desire. Just to see those stars lining up in your experience.
Amen.
And then see how he'll give you an opportunity.
Yes.
Like we said on Friday, when you go to work and you pray, or you go to college, or you're doing your washing and you're praying and saying, Lord, I would love an opportunity to tell someone about you.
Amen.
You'll find an opportunity. He'll open up the way to meet the desire of your soul. Because you wanted to present something to him. You don't know where, you don't know how that it's going to open up. He's the one who opens it up for you.
Amen.
And the Lord opened up an opportunity for her, just as much as he opened an opportunity for the harlot on Friday night. In Simon the Pharisee's house, when they had Jesus sitting with dirty feet. And we said it on Friday, Jesus doesn't only have dirty feet now, saints. He has a dirty name.
Amen.
This age we're living in gives Jesus a dirty name.
Yes.
He has this message has a dirty reputation. And there's got to be people that are prepared to redeem that. There's got to be people that are willing to go even with their tears to wash his dirty feet. To say, I want to live a life that sanctifies the name of the Lord. I want to live a life despite all of my failings as a person. But I want to reflect something in my being that will show people this message is what it claims to be. That's what we need, friends. And it just takes one person to make the difference. When she came into Simon's house that day, it just took one harlot. And we saw on Friday, the prophet says that was a type of the Laodicean church. Because Simon was rich and thought he had need of nothing. And he left Jesus sitting in the corner with dirty feet. The unwelcomed Christ. But then she saw an opportunity. And she must have heard of Jesus before. He must have ministered in some way to her. Because she was coming with thanksgiving. She was coming to pour something out. She was coming into his presence. And friends, has the Lord not done something for you? Has he not done something for me? Has he not done wonderful things for you? Oh, friends, but we can get amnesia sometimes and we forget where he took us from. We can forget the pit from where he hewed us from. We can forget the drunkenness of our youth. You can forget all the fornications and the uncleanness of your youth. You can forget all of the defiling music from hell that you used to so enjoy and rejoice in. And you'd be sharing it with your friends and things like that. Let's not forget what he's done for us. Let's not forget what grace has made us to be. We weren't born like this, friends. It's his grace that has made us like this. And he's still working on us. But surely we need to come with a thanksgiving offering to him. Surely we need at some stage to come and appreciate what he's done for us. I don't want to be the 9 lepers. I want to be the 10th leper who remembered what the Lord had done for him. And he came back and he gave thanks to his king for what the Lord had done for him. That's how we said testimonies are so important. If the Lord's done something to you, how can you keep quiet? Don't you want to tell it in the congregation of the saints? To express to the people the goodness of the Lord. That's an important thing. And that's why song worship is so important, because God is allowing somebody who's gifted, somebody who's anointed, to help to lead you to say things to him so that you can worship and praise him. That you may not have the right things to say. You don't know how to express yourself that day. And the song leader just gets in the spirit. And that the song they can minister into a certain place that you can now worship the King, express thanksgivings for his grace and mercy. Our friends, sometimes we don't realize. But if we could just see beyond the veil all the things that he's done for us. Our next door neighbor, their father was just driving the other day down the road. Someone lost control of his car, crashed into a tree and died. And I thought of it. I thought how many times we've traveled, probably 20 times more than that man ever travels. We travel on the slick roads, in the ice, in the rain. We travel at night. We travel in the day. But he's been good to us. He's protected us time and time again. Just the other morning, we got up in the morning, prayed with the children before I took them to school. As I was coming from school, I really felt I really need to pray today. And we really prayed with the children, Lord, keep us safe in the road. I was coming from the school and coming down to the roundabout, all the traffic had backed up. I was going the other side of the road. And this lady just pulled out of a side lane in between the traffic. It didn't even look. And I had to put full brakes and I just missed that lady. Then I said, Lord, I'm so thankful that I prayed this morning. I'm so thankful that I committed my journey into the hands of the Lord, because he was faithful to my prayer. I could have been another statistic that day. But it's the grace of God, friends. That's how we should pray for our food. Because there's so many people hungry in this world. And we forget that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The prophet said we shouldn't be like the pig under the apple tree. That the apples are just bumping on his head and he's eating them. But he never looks up to see where they're coming from. We should look up, friends, and thank him for his goodness, for the clothes on our back, for a warm place to sleep. For a house, for a roof over our heads. If you were in Syria today, what kind of a situation would you be in? Imagine living in a refugee camp. Imagine being somewhere there in Doha in Africa with this starvation and so forth. Friends, he's been good to us. But we can easily become Laodiceans. We forget the goodness of the Lord. In Deuteronomy it says, when you go into the land that I give you, make sure you don't, that you remember the Lord. That it is He that gives you power to get wealth. It's not our own strength, it's not our own ability, it's not our own goodness. Friends, we need to thank Him. And let me tell you about worship. What is worship? You know what worship is? What really pleases the Lord in worship is sacrifice. That's worship. When there's sacrifice, when there's pain involved in doing something for Him, it's pleasing to Him. Because there was pain involved when He redeemed us. There was blood that was shed. There was anguish upon Christ. Friends, and that's how when it's just so easy for us, there's not much blessing. We don't see God revealing Himself in the way that He does in other places where people have to sacrifice to worship. Where people are prepared to pay a price. You know, there's got to be those kind of times in your life that you're willing, you're wanting to go beyond. So I don't want to just offer this kind of offering that I've been offering. I want to get back into a place where He's real in my soul. I want sweet communion with Christ. There's a price to be paid. It's not just going to fall on from the sky like chicken licking and bump you on the head. You've got to pay the price. Amen. You've got to be willing. I need to get rid of some of this foolishness from my life. Yes. I need to lay aside some of these things which are feeding my flesh. Yes. So that my flesh weighs me down in this kind of a way. Sometimes you've got to lay aside food. Yes. Sometimes you've got to separate yourself from your family. Separate yourself from whatever it is. For a season so that you can go and seek Him. So you can go and yield yourself to Him once again and wage warfare against those things that you've allowed to encroach into your spiritual experience. But there's going to have to be some pain, some price to be paid. Because that's what the God pours His blessings upon sacrifice. He's always done it right from the beginning. So Mary was willing to throw, she'd already proved it. She was willing to throw everything in with Jesus. That was her life up to there. She was willing to throw her reputation, her eternal future, everything. She was willing to throw it in with Jesus. And friends, we've thrown everything in with this message. Amen. We have. Amen. It's like David's mighty men who left Saul and that and went and joined the rejected king. The prophet says they recognized that the anointing was upon him. They knew that he was coming in power. And because they were willing to pay the price then, to bear the reproach and to go and live with him in the forest and live with him in the caves, when he came into power, he put them over cities, the prophet said. They received the reward there, but they never did it for the reward. They just wanted to serve God in an acceptable way in their day. They looked at the soul worship and they weren't pleased with that. They said, we don't want to use our resources and our time in building up this kind of a kingdom. Let's go and find what God has anointed. Let's go and find what God has blessed. And no matter that it made them fugitives from the law and the age, put them at risk against death, they crossed from Saul and went across to David. And as soon as they got to him, you go and see how they started to prophesy in the different things and said, blessed art thou, now David. And you go and read the different things that happened to the mighty men. And God took them and made them into mighty men that did exploits beyond the call of duty. That man, when the sword clave to his hand and he stood there in his inheritance, says, I won't allow these Philistines to do this. And he stood there and slew the Philistines until he couldn't even take the sword out of his hand. That wasn't just normal service, friends. And once in a while, he gives us an opportunity to do something beyond. And when the opportunity comes, take that opportunity. Like Mary took the opportunity, like the harlot took the opportunity. Do it with all your heart. And do it for him. And it'll be acceptable to him. What was Mary's motives? Like I said, the first motive obviously was thanksgiving. She wanted to please him. She wasn't doing this to be seen by the people. She knew a lot of these people aren't going to understand what I'm doing. But it was her first motive was thanksgiving. She wanted to show thanksgiving in a certain way. The second thing, she wanted to honor him. She wanted to honor him in some way. And friends, don't you want to honor Jesus in this day? The name of Jesus is a curse word to most people. But can we not commit ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, sanctify your name through me? That when people see me, just a simple, honest, genuine, sweet Christian, honest in my dealings, faithful in my ways, encouraging in my speech, that may do something to once again restore the honor of Jesus. Like that man when we went to the pub and then all these friends were saying there's no such thing as Christians these days. It's a fake. And he says, I know someone who's a Christian. It was his wife. There was one woman who was willing to pay the price to honor Christ, to redeem his name, to wash his feet. And she brought those men to Christ because of that life that she lived. And what was the song that she was singing? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Friends, the cross is not popular in Laodicea.
Amen.
Laodiceans don't want to take up their cross. But to take up your cross, it signifies death.
Amen.
Death to your ambitions.
Amen.
Death to you ruling your own time.
Amen.
Death to you making your own agenda for life. Amen. Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him take up his cross.
Right.
He says, if you don't, you cannot be my disciple.
Amen.
Discipleship, friends, you're willing to pay the price.
Amen.
And it's more than worth it. To forsake the pig pen so you can spend time with the king. Is that a hard choice, really, friends? To forsake the atmosphere of Laodicea so that you can go into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about it. But there's a price to be paid. There's going to be some warfare to break through. Like when the angel came, like Brother Lubanza was saying, there was warfare. There's going to be some warfare that's going to, you're going to determine and say, no, tomorrow I'm going to start consecrating myself for the next weekend. You're going to wake up tomorrow with a headache. You are. You're going to wake up with a runny stomach. You're going to wake up and all the children aren't going to be happy. And the boss at work's going to have a bad weekend. That's why the offering had to be offered with fire.
Amen.
The frankincense only started to give forth the sweet savor when it went through the fire.
Amen.
And our sacrifice, our offering, it only brings forth a savor, friends, when there's a price.
Amen.
When there's adversity, when there's trial, when there's resistance. That's when it starts smelling real good before Him. When we're willing to offer in those kind of times. And that's why he puts the book of Job as the example for us. Have you considered my servant Job? There's no man like this man in all the earth. The man, we've got it on Superbook, we watch it with the children, it's very good. Smitten right from the top of his head with boils. When you watch it in that Superbook, you just hear Job scream in the middle of the night. Everyone comes running, the servants with the lights, what's going on? And the man's covered with boils and he's screaming in agony. Hey, and then he's taking the pieces of pottery and his wife and he's scraping the boils. And he shaves his head. And then what's the next thing you see him doing? Staggering, walking like that. And he kneels down at his altar. And he starts worshiping the Lord. And friends, the devil is angry with the man. He says, what kind of a man is this? You know what kind of a man? He's a redeemed man. That's what a redeemed man does. That's what somebody does who's met Christ. That's a natural reaction in the soul of a person to somebody who knows the greatness of Christ and what He's done for us. And what does his wife say? Do you keep your integrity? Curse God and I. We won't say much about that. We won't go down the line of that as we'll get in trouble. But he says, you speak like a foolish woman. You speak like a foolish woman. Shall we receive only good from the hands of God and shall we not receive evil? That's why this prosperity gospel in this age is antichrist, friends. Many times we must receive evil from the hands of God because the offering needs fire. It needs adversity. It needs opposition. It needs misunderstanding because the promise is to the overcomer. And there's going to have to be something that you have to overcome. And the offerings that you make as an overcomer, that's a sweet savor before the Lord. And God put us in an age where there's a lot that we have to overcome. There's a lot that we have to overcome. So she wanted to honor Him. She wanted to honor Him in that kind of way. Now, another way that we can honor the Lord, let's bring it practically to ourselves. What's one way practically we can honor the Lord? We honor the Lord in church order. That's how we honor the Lord. You honor the Lord by coming to the service on time. You dishonor the Lord by coming late. You dishonor the Lord. When it's quiet time or song worship and you're coming in through the door late. Now all of us, we do have times where we have misfortune. We know that. We understand that. But when it becomes our custom, when it becomes our habit, friends, you wonder then why you've lost something in your experience.
Amen.
Because it's not pleasing to the Lord. It's not pleasing. Remember that time with the in that book, Generations? Whew, that one didn't go down quite as well as the rest of the service. Yeah? That one didn't quite hit the spot like some of the other things have hit the spot. Remember in the Generations book when those folks from the tabernacle went up to where the prophet was having the meeting? We spoke of it many times. Amen. And they got there and it was an arena and all the rest of the Pentecostal people that were there were chatting and talking and that in the sanctuary. And they said, but we sat there and we read our Bibles just like the prophet taught us. Yeah. And then the meeting came. And then the great atmosphere came down and the pillar of fire came on the scene. And the prophet says, who here is a stranger to me? I don't want to call out anybody that I know. And then the angel of the Lord bypassed what the prophet had just said and went and hung over all of those believers.
Amen.
And the prophet called them out one by one.
Amen.
And then the prophet came to them afterwards and says, God respected you because you respected his order.
Amen.
God will respect you when you respect his order.
Amen.
But the prophet says, it's not the big things we do, it's the little things we leave undone.
Amen.
The prophet says sometimes it seems to be the little insignificant. It's not insignificant. It's a little fox that spoils the vine.
Amen.
Friends, let's sacrifice. Wake up earlier on a Sunday.
Amen.
If it's a problem with the children and the family, wake up earlier.
Amen.
Surely, if you can be, like the brothers will say, we can be on time for the dentist appointment. On time for work every day. On time for our studies at college. But you can't be on time for the house of the Lord. That is a shame, friends.
Hallelujah.
That is a shame.
Amen.
Is Jesus worthy of that?
No.
Is your boss worthy of more honor than Christ who died for you?
No.
But we're not showing him order. We're not showing him honor.
Amen.
We're not honoring his statutes. We're not honoring his house. It sounds hard, friends, but it's the truth.
Amen.
And it needs to be said.
Amen.
And we need to be on time. That's what our prophet taught us. That's what God respected when the prophet said. And let's be people, no matter the sacrifice that we have to make, let's respect order. And once the service finishes, the prophet says, not one word should be spoken in the sanctuary. Let's honor the order. If you need to speak, speak in the cry room. Speak upstairs, but don't speak in the house of the Lord. We do understand it might be raining out there. Maybe you need to speak to someone. Go upstairs. There's sofas up there. There's rooms up there. Go into the cry room and speak to someone. But let's honor the Lord by honoring the statutes and the requirements of his house. And the prophet says, that's how you guard the atmosphere. He says, when you allow your children to go running through the building and people are chatting and passing notes, he says, you're going to ruin it for the next service coming up. You're going to ruin it, friends. Let's honor the Lord. And sometimes it's the little things we start to slip.
Amen.
It's the little things we start to go by. Because when you come to church late, it's not like at work when the boss is going to come and pay you a visit and tell you, why were you late? And maybe dock you of your wages. Maybe sometimes we're just far too polite. But we have good deacons. And they know their responsibility. But it's good. Church order.
Amen.
What about the Spanish people when the prophet went down to Tucson? And he says, those Spanish people, they had to travel for hours coming to the service. He says, and they got there early. And he says, and the rest of the people just came the way that people normally come. And he says, all the rest of the white people came, he says. He says, and when the angel of the Lord came down, he healed every one of the Spanish and totally bypassed all the white people. You'll think it doesn't mean something. It does mean something. It means something at the end of the service when you come for prayer. If you've honored the Lord, he's going to honor you. If you've respected him, he's going to respect you. Because when Elijah made things, put things in order the way that God wanted them, God respected what he did. When Abel came and did things God's order, God respected Abel. But Cain came and said, I can just offer an offering anyway. And the heavens were like brass. And there was no response from heavenly places. Our friends, please, next weekend when we start our services, when we say 2 o'clock, let's make sure everyone's here at 2.
Amen.
2 doesn't mean 2:30. 2 doesn't mean 3.
Amen.
Even Benji can tell you that. 2 means 2.
Amen.
2 means 2. And it's wonderful when you start the day, get up on Saturday morning, when you go to bed Friday, be planning the next day already.
Amen.
already be in the house of the Lord in your soul, thinking about His house, thinking about preparing yourself. Amen. And be prepared on Saturday morning for a lot of things to come. The prophet says the devil will always throw a lot of imps in the way. Right. He'll always try to frustrate you and get things. Be prepared for that.
Amen.
It's going to be like it. But let's come on time. That when the first prayer is prayed, people are in the line of duty. People are in the post of duty. People are seated. And everything's in order in the house of the Lord. Because when they did that in Exodus chapter 40, then the glory filled the house.
Amen.
When Moses did everything according to the heavenly pattern, then the Shekinah came down. That's when the atmosphere changed and God blessed His people. God doesn't just accept sacrifice. David said it in Psalm 51. He says, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I have given it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, Thou wilt not despise. God is looking on the inward. God doesn't look at the offering He make and He looks at the quantity. He doesn't. God looks at the value. God weighs it. The prophet says God doesn't number His people. He weighs His people. That's what it is. You might give two mites like the widow, but in God's sight, when He weighed that offering, it was more than all the rest of the people that gave of the abundance. So it's not particularly what you give, it's how you give it. It's the attitude, the motive, the approach, the reason that you're giving it. That's what God weighs up. That's what makes it something beyond what's just a normal offering. Now, in order as well, there were people in the Bible who decided to offer to the Lord. King Uzziah decided that he wanted to go and offer incense. It wasn't according to God's order. That wasn't his position.
Amen.
When you're out of your position, no matter what you sacrifice, it's not a sweet savor before the Lord.
Amen.
And those priests came and told him, "This will not be for your honor, O king.
Amen.
This won't work out well." And he got angry and he refused to be corrected by the deacons of the house of the Lord. And the leprosy struck him because of his attitude. You don't want it to be like that, friends.
Amen.
What about King Saul? When Samuel delayed to come, he says, "I forced myself." Don't force yourself. He went and he forced himself to offer a burnt offering. It wasn't his position to offer the burnt. There was no sweet smelling savor. But the moment Samuel came and offered the burnt offering, there was thunder from heaven. And God thundered upon the enemies of Israel because a man was in his position in due order, offering something that was pleasing to the Lord. And heaven will always respond at those kind of times. What about David when he wanted to do something for the Lord and bring up the ark? And the Lord smote Uzzah. And the man died, the breach upon Uzzah. What did David say when he went back and he really meditated upon why there was no sweet savor before the Lord that day? Why the service became a servant of judgment, a service of judgment, not of one of blessing? He says, "Because we sought him not after due order." And then as soon as now they recognize the order and they put the ark on the shoulder of the Levites, it says, and the Lord helped them. The Lord never helped them the first time. Friends, we need the Lord to help us. We need the oil in our worship. We need the oil in our song worship. We need the oil in the preaching of the word. We need the oil in our prayer meetings. We need the oil and the fire and the frankincense, and that makes it a sweet savor before the Lord. And when the blessings go, when the prayers go up, the blessings come down every time. God will respond. Now, when she came and she offered this offering, let me tell you this, friends. It's something learned. We all learn it through our own experience. You must have learned it. I have as well. But you sometimes forget it. When you desire to be like Mary and to offer something beyond, don't expect all the believers to be happy with you. Don't expect that you're going to have to go through the hall of critics. It's like when you first come to church, I always say it. Everything will be so sweet. Then there has to come the testing time.
Amen.
There's going to be somebody say something you don't understand. Someone's going to step on your toes. Someone's going to treat your children in a way that you don't appreciate. Yeah? Someone's going to gossip about you. That's the test of your worship.
Amen.
Are you doing it unto men? Or is this an offering you're presenting before the Lord? If you're doing it before men, when people criticize you, you're not going to come and sing an item again. Who are you doing it for? Who are you doing it for? And when things aren't good, I'm not going to church anymore. Why were you going to church? Were you going to church for the people? You need a big revelation, my friend. You don't come to church for the people. We come here to present an offering to the King. That's why we come here. But it's got to be through the fire. The offering has to pass through the seasons of fire. Everything has to be tested and tried before it's put up as a masterpiece. It has to go through the hall of critics. But how many times, friends, have we been stumbled in our offering to the King? Because of flesh and blood. Who cares what Jesus, what Judas says about the offering? If Judas is going to say, this is a waste. This should have been sold and 300 pence given to the poor. Who cares about Judas? Who cares about what Judas thinks? She's doing it for Jesus. All that matters is what Jesus thinks about what she's doing. Not what Judas thinks. Don't pay attention to Judas. He's not worthy giving an ear to. And she didn't listen to Judas. She didn't care what Judas said. She just wanted to honor the Lord. She wanted to find some way to express her thanksgiving to her King for all that He had done for her. She wanted to express some way, somehow, how can I express to Him who He really is to me? Oh, friends, that's what worship is. But you're going to have it. Look at it. Look what happened with Judas. In John chapter 12, verse 4. Verse 3, it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Like we said on Friday, one person can change the atmosphere. Amen. The whole house was filled with the sweet fragrance now. It was a sweet savor. Friends. I love it when somebody comes, like today, when you find people, little children that come and give an item. It pleases the Lord. Amen. Even Brother Greg last week. Yeah, Brother Greg, he took a bit of time, but it was sweet to the Lord, friends. Because the more that he spoke, the thicker the atmosphere became. Amen. Because it was from the heart. It's someone wanting just to try to find some way to express themselves to the Lord. Amen. And God appreciates it, friends. When you do it with the right motive, He really does. But what did Judas have to say? Verse 4. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Ah, friends. It's a serious thing. But we're laughing. But many times we've been Judas. When you see someone worshiping the Lord better than you, you know what we do? If in the flesh, we try to fault find now. No, he has too many people at his house. Why does he have too many people at his house? Yeah? What's that like? How can someone go and spend all their time doing those things? Doesn't he care about his family? That's what people say. But you know what it is? That worship has provoked something inside of us. It's provoked us unto jealousy because we see, but hey, I'm not doing this. And the best thing at that time, don't say anything. Don't judge that. Be careful you don't judge the service of other people to their King. Don't be too quick to make yourself the standard and say, no, I think that's too much. That's what they were saying. This is too costly. How can they waste this for the King? For Jesus? Friends, 300 pence is 300 pence a lot to give to Jesus. It's nothing compared to what He gave to us. And if we had catch the revelation of that, friend, you will never judge another believer. If you see someone so zealous serving the Lord, that's still not sufficient for the Lord. That's still not what He's worthy of. And rather let it provoke us unto good works. Rather let us stir us up and say, but hey, if other people can worship like this and God can bless them like that, let's seek Him like that as well. Let's not fault find and say, no, 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 and try to justify our own Laodicean condition many times. By trying to find fault in the service and offering of other people. I've learned that. I've done it. I've made that mistake before. And then I realize it's my flesh speaking here. That person's spiritual worship has provoked my flesh. My flesh doesn't feel comfortable because somebody is offering something beyond. Somebody has entered into a certain realm that I'm not walking in at that time. Ah, oh, friends, rather let me just go to the altar myself and say, oh, Jesus, restore unto me my first love. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because when you were young and you first came to the Lord, there was no distance too great. There was no expense too great. We would go for conventions and sleep in a classroom on desks without even a mattress, without even a pillow for the weekend. We would. We would go and do that as service for our king, and we didn't complain. No one complained that we should be staying in a hotel. Jesus was born in a stable. Jesus had no place to lay his head. Are you better than Jesus? Should we just have luxury and comfort in this life? Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation. That's what he said. The next one is when you enter into our rest. The millennium, 1,000 years, friends. Now it's service for the rejected king. Now we're with him in the forest of Hereth. Now we're with him in the caves of Adullam. That's where we are. We're with our rejected king. Now we're bearing the reproach of the Lord in our age. That's what it's got to be. Let's not seek for comfort here, friends. Yes, you've got to keep a balance. But sometimes when you want to keep a balance, we go so far the other way. When you say, no, I need to keep a balance, we do nothing for the Lord. There's no sacrifice. God only blesses sacrifice, friends. What about your meal offering for your king? What about my meal offering for my king? One of these days, the book's going to be closed. And we're not going to have any chance to serve him like this anymore. We're not going to have any opportunity to express in the words of the redeemed in this life the way we can express things now. That's why those Brooklyn Tabernacle sing the song, the greatest song of all. It's the song of the redeemed. It says he loves to hear the angels worship. But when the weakest redeemed by his blood gets on their knees, he hushes them. And he listens to the song of the redeemed. When one sinner bought by the blood gets on their knees and starts to worship him, he says, this is what I've been waiting for. And all the angelic choirs, he tells them to be quiet. Because that's sweet before him. That's a sweet savior. Savior is the song of the redeemed. And friends, we're the only ones who can sing the song of the redeemed. The angels can't sing. The angels all will listen because they cannot join that song. And it's given us a season and a space of time in Laodicea to offer him a service beyond what Luther had to offer. Beyond what Wesley offered. Friends, the conditions of this day. Imagine the savior that your offering can be. If you'll just allow him to minister you to that place in your calling, your position, in your life. Just with a desire inside of yourself. That's how I just put it down. People normally are angry. By any act of love for Christ, which rises above their own standard. Yes. It's just natural for people to do it. Amen. Now when you hear of this and you hear of that, it's quite an easy thing inside of yourself. And what we do, like Judas, we try to justify it now. You see, look what Judas did. That's what he said. He said, should this not be sold and given to the poor? You see, we cloak it in like some religious terminology, our feelings like it. But in the end, it's just jealousy many times. It's just carnality many times. It's just our flesh. It's just Laodicea's influence in our experience many times. Let's not clothe it in religious terms and try to find quotes and spoken words and give them to people to dampen down their zeal. Rather feed the flame. I'd rather, would you not rather burn out for the Lord, like the prophet says, rather than rust out for the Lord? Would you rather not just burn and find certain seasons when you can burn and do something beyond the call of duty? Rather than you sit back and let other people get the treasures in heaven and you sit back and you get no reward. No, now's our opportunity, friends, to do those kind of things. And that's why I say the Lord weighs what we do. He doesn't count them, he weighs them. Now he looks at the motive, he looks at the objective. Even if in our approach we're not perfect in what we do, even in our offering we're not perfect in what we offer, but when he sees the desire, like when Abraham came to offer Isaac, our friends, God looked down at that. That was one of the greatest acts of worship.
Amen.
When you're willing to lay something aside for the Lord, that's an act of worship. Amen. You've worshipped the Lord. When you resist temptation, that's an act of worship.
Amen.
When the devil comes to tempt you and your flesh wants to respond, you say, I'm not going to defile myself. Amen. That's an act of worship.
Amen.
You've worshipped the Lord. When a girl comes up to you at school and she flutters her eyes, And she wants to get you to defile yourself in your testimony. Be careful. Christ is giving you an opportunity to offer something through the fire. It's not going to be easy, but you come out undefiled the other side and see how pleasing that is before the Lord. Like with Joseph, when he left his garment and fled from Potiphar's wife. Friends, it was pleasing. It was an act of worship. Resisting temptation is an act of worship. Yielding yourself to Him, it's an act of worship. That's what the prophecy, you don't just worship in church. That's an act of worship. Let's come to a close. So the disciples now, they started to criticize her, yeah? And the amazing thing is, Judas was the most vocal. But go and read in Matthew 26. It says, and the other disciples criticized her as well. Sometimes genuine people, friends, that's where a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. Amen. Let one person just start to criticize what another person does and see how it spreads. And Judas is the one who starts to murmur against her. And then the other disciples say as well, that's true. Why is she wasting this ointment? Nothing done for Jesus is ever a waste. Amen. Every second you spend for Jesus, friends, that's not a waste. Amen. You've redeemed the time. Amen. And the Bible says, redeem the time for the days are evil. Hallelujah. All the rest of the time we spend, a lot of the time it's wasted time. Right. Now, if you're ministering to your family, if you're going to work for your family, that's not wasted time. That's part of your responsibility. If you're a mother and you're washing for your children, and you're looking after the young ones at home, that's an act of worship. Amen. You, in the line of duty, you're doing what God calls you to do. But in the midst of all of that kind of time, in the midst of all those kind of responsibilities, we've got to find the best, the choice of our time, to offer Him something beyond. Amen. To offer Him something that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, it was a very costly offering. 300 pence. The prophet says in desperation, he says, going to the mission fields, he says, we have to get the seasons where it's not raining and pouring down rain. Those poor people sitting out there. I've seen women sit out there with their hair stringing down. Fine dressed people and just sit in that rain all day long. Just sitting there and it's pouring and thundering and lightning, storms blowing and them weaving back and forth against another like that. Sitting right there waiting till you come to pray for them. It says, you see, God honors faith like that. Amen. He does. You've got to do something for God to honor. Amen. You show Him. Amen. The people that's got everything handed them so easily, they don't do nothing for it, you see. The gift is free, but there's something that you've got to do. Amen. And that's why there's a difference between the sin offering. We can do nothing in ourselves. He's catered for that. The trespass offering, He's catered for that. But we have a meal offering, a burnt offering. We have a peace offering. There's things we can offer as appreciation. So it comes up before Him as a pleasing sacrifice. And we've got to bring of our goods and bring of our time and bring of our labors and give of our talents and our gifts and all that we are, lay ourselves upon the altar, and those things become acceptable before the Lord. Now, use the opportunity. When He gives you the opportunity, use the opportunity. Mary was never going to get another opportunity. If she hadn't responded at this time, she was never going to get another opportunity. How many times do you hear people say it when their parents have passed away, to say, if I could have only spoken to my father one more time to tell him how much I loved him. If only I could have spoken to my mother one more time to tell her how much I appreciated her. But the opportunity is gone. Amen. The chance is gone. Don't let it be like that with the Lord. You can do something today. If your desire is right, if your ambition is pure, and you say, Lord, I want to do something to show my love to you, I guarantee He's going to give you something today. He's going to open a channel. He's going to open a door. And all He wants you to do is yield yourself and count everything else as secondary. Your time, your strength, your energy, the hours of the night for sleep, when it's an opportunity to do something for Him. You don't always get the opportunities, friends. That's how when they come your way, make a difference. When she came with her costly offering, like I say, she poured it all out. She didn't say, let me keep a little bit of this back. She consecrated it all to the Lord. Friends, let's give everything to Him. Amen. Don't hold anything back inside of your life. Don't have certain things that you hold back. Give it all to Him. Because when she poured it all out, like I said, it changed the whole atmosphere.
Amen.
Yeah? And it didn't only do that. Because she went and she wiped His feet with her hair. So when she left that place, she was smelling different than when she came.
Amen.
She was now smelling like Jesus.
Amen.
She was smelling the same way Jesus was smelling. And friends, those kind of offerings, that kind of service, when you come out of that kind of a service, people can tell there's something different with you.
Amen.
There's a certain odor, there's a certain sweetness, a certain fragrance around a person when they've gone and offered something like that. Like when Abraham came down the mountain with Isaac, I always think of that. Imagine the atmosphere that was there. Imagine the way that they felt. Imagine how that condition of things when they came down from there, having received such a blessing after going through the seasons of fire, having your faith tried like that, willing to give up the most precious thing that you have as a burnt offering. Then the Lord coming and blessing you with one of the greatest blessings from the Bible, you're not going to come back the same kind of a person. You're going to end up smelling more and more like Christ. It really does change us, friends. That's why in the end, we just need to ask ourselves, which one do we want to be? Do we want to be Mary or do you want to be Judas? Which one do we want? Judas, I remember hearing somebody preach that once. Judas valued Christ at 30 pieces of silver, yeah? That was his valuation of Jesus in the same chapter. John puts it in the same chapter to show the contrast that she was willing to give it all. And if she had more, she would have given more. But she gave all that she had. But Judas, instead of coming there to see what he could pour out for his king, he was there to see what he could gain. And when she gained the greatest testimony, the greatest memorial just about in the Bible, what did he gain? He gained nothing. He lost his soul. And that's how the prophet preached. What think you of Christ? What value do you value Jesus with today? Our life this week, our approach towards the services next week. Now, the way that we approach it is going to show, because action speaks louder than words. It's going to show how we value Him. If we value Him above the boss at work, friends, we're going to do a different kind of a thing. If we value Him above whatever else that is valuable inside of our lives, let's express it. Let's seek the Lord to quicken us once again. Let's seek the Lord for the oil to come into the frankincense. And as we go through the season of fire, that it may really come up before Him. So she did all that she could. She made a difference. And I'm sure like the rest of us, she wishes she could have done more. But Jesus says, she's done all that she can. She's done all that she can. You might say, my life is so busy. And I'm a housewife. I've got so many children. And God understands that. He's not expecting you to do the same as you did when you were single. But surely there's still something that you can do. Not so much the quantity of it, but surely there's still something that you can offer to Him.
Amen.
With all your heart, that will come up as a sweet savor before Him. Yes, our circumstances all change. We have so many responsibilities in this life. But if we seek Him, we're going to find opportunity. If we desire it, those chances are going to come our way. If you've got a gift, come and express it before the King next weekend. If you can sing before the Lord, why not prepare and lay yourself on the altar as a burnt offering so that He accepts you during the week and then come next weekend and bring it as a meal offering.
Amen.
To bring a sweet savor before the Lord. If you've got a testimony, come with your testimony.
Amen.
Come, prayed up, the prophet says.
Amen.
And let's come to the house of the Lord. And let's rejoice in His presence for the things that He's done for us. Now, the final thing is when Solomon, one day, he made a great offering. I think he offered 2,000 bullocks, I think it was, on the altar, if you go and read, yeah? And that was the night the Lord came to him and said, ask of me anything.
Amen.
And he asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom, and he built the house of the Lord. And then when it came now to the dedication service for the temple of the Lord, Solomon took his offerings, he took all that he had, and he came and he knelt down, and he offered a prayer. And his prayer came up before the Lord as incense. And the Lord was pleased by that prayer. And he said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves. You know what the Lord did? And heaven responded and the glory came down. And God's glory filled their temple. Friends, that's the kind of dedication services we would desire. But first, He's got to accept us. Then He's going to accept our offering. So let's come to a time of worship, a time of prayer. Let's start now. Let's start our preparation today. Let's come on Wednesday. Whoever wants to join in, let's have a day of consecration on Wednesday. And let's come for special prayer meeting on Wednesday. Let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's seek the Lord's blessing. Let's lay aside food and drink. Let's lay aside the entertainments, the pleasures, whatever of this life. And let's seek His face. And let's come Wednesday and let's seek the grace of God to put us in a condition that He may see fit to bless us beyond what He blessed us before. Let's stand. Yes, Lord. It's true. Help us, Lord. That's what we need. But He understands that we're flesh and blood. But He sees the desire of the heart. For the Lord. And the best thing we can do is just be honest with Him. Because He knows where you are. You know, He knows your situation. He knows your circumstances. He says, I know your tribulations. He says he knows your trials. He knows what you're going through. So why not speak to him about it? Now you might say, but I can't come next weekend because I have to work. Let me tell you the truth. You don't have to work.
Amen.
You don't have to work. Amen. And if you'd pray now, I really believe, and you have the desire, something can change and you won't have to work anymore.
Amen.
You can switch shift with somebody. You can do something else. You can take unpaid leave. Whatever needs to be done, friends. Is Jesus not worthy of our best?
Amen.
When the saints are gathered, should we not be there? How can the rest of the saints gather for dedication services and you're not going to be there? I don't understand that, friends.
Amen.
What could be more important than being in his house to appreciate and thank him for a place that he's given us to worship? How many times he's met us in this place?
Amen.
How many times he's healed our children, he's healed people in this place?
Amen.
So many times. Our friends, aren't you going to come back and thank him for what he's done?
Amen.
Aren't you going to come and worship him and appreciate him for his grace and mercy? But there's going to be opposition, friends. Because the frankincense has to be passed through the fire to bring forth the fragrance that's pleasing before him. So I'd really say, friends, let's examine our motives and our objectives now. And let's seek his face and let's say, Lord, help me. Help me to move out of Laodicea. Laodicea is getting a grip in my experience once again. Too much of my own rights and my own opinions and my own feelings, and it's my time and it's my life. No, it's not your life. If you're a Christian, the Bible says you've been bought with a price.
Amen.
You belong to Christ, the one who purchased you with his blood. Let's come and worship him next weekend, friends. But let's all be there. Let's all be there. Why should somebody not be here? Let's pray now that the Lord will make a way for each and every one of us. That when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the saints are rejoicing, when the morning stars sing for joy, I want to be there as well. And I'm sure God will respect your desire. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put this before the Lord.
So great, there is no one else.
there is no one else. There is no one else like you. Oh, you deserve the glory. Oh, you deserve the Lord and the honor. Oh, Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Oh, as we lift your holy name. Oh, you deserve the glory. Oh, and the honor. Oh,
bless your name. Amen. Sorry, saints. Okay. Amen.
Unless you want to sing because you have chosen.
Amen.
Aren't Amen. You glad that you've chosen?
Amen.
The narrow path, the harder way. Because of this, a huge portion of heaven awaits.
Amen. Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven, oh, is waiting for you. Because of what you decided, oh, that was the prophecy. Oh, the angel told, oh, to the great messenger. The Lord, that divine love will live in me. Oh, despite as many trials and many battles against the enemy. Oh, will lead us
through perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
Oh, there is not much time remaining. Oh, to walk in this body. Our beloved one, oh, coming to meet us. Oh, I will walk this path, and I will walk this path, oh, in the footsteps of Elohim. I want to get to the end of time. Divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path, and I will walk this path, oh, in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. Divine love will live in me.
Let's sing one more, but first we want to say to Sister Verica, she's traveling back to Slovakia on Wednesday for Christmas holidays. May the Lord grant her a safe journey and a blessed Christmas time with her family there. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. Friends, He pledged allegiance to us. Has He ever let you down? Has He ever forsaken you? Has He not been the one set of footprints in the sand many times? So should we not renew our allegiance to Him and say, Lord, I want to serve You in an acceptable way in the midst of all of these difficulties in my life, in the midst of all this darkness that's around us. But I want to renew my vows, Lord. I want to pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
I have heard of Christians.
Not too slow, don't you go quite fast. Yeah, a bit faster.
I pledge allegiance to
the Lamb
with all my strength, with all I am. I will sing to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance. They will renounce the name of Christ, but one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they will not deny, like a great angelic choir sing. I can almost hear voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am.
praises still goes on. Our time has come to come back home, to reject this world, to embrace the cross, and one by one let us live on.
We have a need. We'll ask Brother Max to come and close for us in prayer if he'd be kind enough. But we have a need here. We just want to ask the saints to pray for it. The people that were in this building before, they didn't pay for the electricity. So there's quite a big bill on the electricity. So we're trying to get an electricity company to change the name so that we can take over fresh to say that's not our debt. So they wanted us to get a letter from the solicitors to prove that we moved into this building on the day that we did. So they can have like a cut-off date. But because of all the money laundering and all the, don't like to say it, but a lot of Nigerian churches and things that have taken place, they don't trust us, the solicitors, because we're not like a registered church yet. We're in the process of doing it. So it leaves us in a situation that we can't get the electricity renewed at the moment. And we don't want the devil to turn off the electricity this weekend. So we're just trying to really ask Brother Max to really put that before the Lord, to say to the devil to let go. We want this to be resolved. That's what we design. We just want the Lord to go before to open this up, because He needs to open this up for us. He needs to show us what to do. He needs to provide the need that we have in this situation. So we're bringing it to our great husband, the one who shed His blood for us, the one who trampled the devil underfoot at the cross. And we just want to unite together as a church to pray for this so we can resolve this as quickly as possible. Amen.
Let's bow our hands.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We thank You, Lord Jesus. We came here this morning, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We've received Your word of inspiration.
Yes, Lord.
Father, the word that came, the message, Lord, I have received it by way of rebuke.
Oh, Jesus.
I know my brother over there have received it by way of instruction.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
My sister over there have received it by way of correction.
Yes,
oh, back there, my brother have received it by way of a doctrine.
Yes.
Lord, we know that, oh Lord Jesus, in all it is inspired.
Yes.
That we will be totally finished unto all good works.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, as we came here this morning, even if we had come with a wayward heart, a thorny heart, a stony heart, You said You can take our stony hearts,
yes, Lord,
and give us a heart of flesh, Lord.
Amen.
Father, these words that we have heard this morning, this message, Lord,
hallelujah,
grant us, Lord, the heart, Lord Jesus. The heart of flesh, Lord. A fertile ground, Lord Jesus. Where these words of seed of God will grow in our lives, Lord. And bear the fruits out of it, to God. Because by our fruits, Lord, we glorify you. Father, we thank you for this message, Lord. That, Father, it will keep us, Lord, always on our feet, Lord Jesus. And to do that is right, Lord, in your house, God. Father, we thank you for this message. Bless it, Lord Jesus, on our hearts, Lord. Father, we know that day when your children had crossed over the Jordan, there was an obstacle before them. There was Jericho. But Lord Jesus, they saw someone over there. The captain of the Lord host. Oh, to lead in the battle. Oh, Lord Jesus, there has been a problem on this place, oh God, about this, our electricity. But Lord Jesus, we know that every condition is under control. In the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever, Lord Jesus, we find ourselves lacking, oh God, we know the captain of the Lord host had made it good for us. And the Lord Jesus, whatever we put across, Lord, we will find favor. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, at this place, oh God, we will never have any problem, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, even committing, Lord, all the service that will be coming, Lord, into your hands. This coming Saturday, Lord. We want to dedicate this place, Lord, into your hands, oh God. That, Father, you said you always meet the worshippers where you have laid down your name. Amen. We know that, Father, you've placed your name here. Yes. And the Lord Jesus, nothing can change it, Lord. Amen. So, Father, that day, O Lord, we ask that the Lord Jesus, all our sacrifices to God, will be done, Lord, according to what Elijah did, laying down the altar once again. Hallelujah. Oh, in the right way, Lord, preparing the Lord Jesus. And the fire came down to consume it, Lord. Amen. Father, that day, O Lord, as we are praying towards it, O God, yes, we know that, Lord Jesus, we will see the fire come down. Amen. To consume, Lord Jesus, everything that, Lord, we will present to God unto you. Amen. We commit, Lord, our brethren that will be coming to take up the services, Lord, into your hands. Lord. The Lord, you be with them, O God. Amen. Father, give them that inspiration, the Lord Jesus. The things that, Lord, your servants, oh Lord, will come up with, oh God, will be the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Lord, in your hands we commit them, oh God.
Amen.
And we, the Lord Jesus, the church of God, we surrender, Lord.
Amen.
Oh Father, we bring ourselves, Lord Jesus, to you, oh Lord, with all humility,
Amen.
Broken spirit, and a contrite heart.
Yes,
we know that, Lord, you will not despise, Lord.
Amen.
Father, what are we looking for? As even the psalmist said, one thing I desire of you, the Lord.
Amen.
And one thing we all desire of you, God, and seek after, Lord, that, Father, we would dwell in your house and behold your beauty, O God.
Amen.
Father, we commit, Lord Jesus, our going back, Lord, into your hands. Even as you grant us journey mercies, Lord, once again, grant us the same journey mercies back, O God.
Amen.
Even we commit all other road users, Lord, into your hands. We don't know them, but Father, keep each and everyone safe, Lord. And Father, these things that we have heard, Lord,
Amen.
Oh, we pray that, Lord Jesus,
yes.
the fruits, Lord, will be seen in our lives, O God.
Yes.
We surrender to you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us, Lord. Oh, Father, my heart is broken, Lord
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Bless your church, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing, I bless your name as we dismiss, saints. Please, let's remember, let's honor the sanctuary. Let's not talk in your after service. Let's watch our children. Let's seek the Lord to build up from here as we go through the weekend, into the weekend. 2 o'clock Saturday, Brother Tom's taking first service. Then 6 o'clock Saturday evening, Brother George Martin will be preaching. Then next Sunday morning, Brother George Martin will be doing the dedication service, Sunday morning service. Then Sunday afternoon, maybe 3 o'clock, Brother Crosby will be preaching for us. And then Brother Crosby will be with us for the following weekend as well. So it'll be a real blessing. We're looking forward to it. I think the deacons, trustees, and that will arrange, let the saints know about bringing food for services and that. But let's just be in prayer for it.
The most important thing we desire is the table that Jesus has spread for us.
Amen.
In fact, let's sing that song, if you don't mind. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Don't turn down his invitation.
Amen.
Just because you need some overtime. Don't turn down the invitation just because you need a little bit more time to win favor with your boss. I'd rather win favor with the big boss. Because he's the one who gives us power to get the wealth. So let's please him. Let's come to his house by the grace of God. Amen.
Jesus has a table spread where the sins of God are fed. He invited his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he is fed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. So come and dine, the Master calling, come and dine. You may visit at Jesus' table all the time. He will fill the multitude, turn the water into wine. Go to the hungry, call it now. Come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called unto them, come and dine. Then they found their hearts desire of bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master called it, come and